Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
George Blackwell is a guy I've known for a long time. People you go back with, I've said it before, the network is everything, and if you haven't got one, you haven't got a thing. George Blackwell is one of those guys that's I'm proud to call part of my network because I've known him for so many years. And a great athlete back in the day, great executive here. And I want to take it step by step. And George, first of all, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Mike. Glad to be with you.
Of course, I got to know you when you were here. But take me back to George Blackwell, who grew up, great athlete, went to Central State. Back in the day, you and I were talking earlier today, and you were telling me about MLK and what that felt like, because some people compare the riots right now to then. What did you feel like at that point in time? What as an African American young male, what was the suppression about and the equality about? What were you marching for? What did it feel like back then?
You know, Mike, that's a very good question. You know, I'm a product of the '60s, and during that period of time, it was really all about civil rights. It was always about being able to eat in restaurants like where everyone else ate, being able to stay in the same hotels, being able to travel and do things that other people had the opportunity to do. Where as a Black American, you know, I was stuck in a spot where I wasn't able to do that. And it was very difficult. And so when you start looking at what demonstrations and protesting was all about, it was all about being able to have the opportunity to achieve and have those kinds of things available to us. And when I think about back then in the early '60s, when I was a young man going through that process, the demonstrations and the protesting was a lot different, Mike. A lot of that got very ugly. A lot of it got very unruly. I think about when you talk about Martin Luther King, you talk about the processes that we went through. My recollection and my visualization and the things that I went through, I look at fire hoses. I look at dogs. I look at billy clubs. It was a little bit different back then.
Well, I can't imagine, because I'm sure there were no rules, right? Almost. I mean, I bet very seldomly did a police officer get called in to, or questioned, huh?
Yeah, it was very, it was just kind of like, here it is. We don't have, there weren't any rules. And, their job was to just go out, take care of what was in front of them in any way, form, or fashion, and let's get through it.
Yeah.
So
you were really taking your chances if you decided to protest, huh?
Oh, there was no question about it, Mike. You took your life in your hands. You laid down. You rolled over. You did whatever you had to do to protect yourself, because all you were looking for is basic human rights and civil rights. So that was a tough time.
How do you keep from getting incredibly angry at that? I remember Carl Eller giving a speech once, and for those of us that grew up like I did in a white community, in my case, small town, You know, we're all getting educated on this as we go along. And one of the things that he said when he spoke was the first time when he went to buy a hamburger and they said, you can't buy it here, you got to go around back to try to get one, was when he recognized white privilege. And that's when it hit to me, because I just thought, I never have had to think about something like that. And when he said it, I thought, how would you like to get up every day and have to think about where am I going to get that hamburger at, because I can't buy it at the same place that they do, etc. Now, how did you keep from, or how did you control what would be easy to have a rage or anger or inferiority, whatever you want to call it?
Well, you know, you didn't. And it just really boiled inside you. You just thought about it. You realized that there was only so much you could do. There were so many things that were out of your control, Mike, that was just really difficult. I just recall growing up as a young man, 10, 11 years old, going on a ball field, playing with a bunch of kids. Then after we finished playing, and the kids would look at me and say, hey, you know, look, let's go. You know, it was a lot of white kids that I was playing with, and they would say, hey, look, George, that's, you know, why don't we all go swimming? Well, the swimming pool was right next to the ball field. They were able to go into the swimming pool, and I had to watch it from outside of the fence. That was really hard, and it was really difficult for me to understand. And I started realizing, well, why is this? Why am I not able to have these opportunities? And so, but back then, Mike, that was the way of life. That's the way we were taught, and that's the way we grew up. Until we realized that, hey, this isn't right. This isn't right. Me, I'm entitled to these same opportunities as anybody else. You know, I look at going into bus stations when I was playing in the minor leagues, having to eat at the end of a lunch counter, not being able to use the same restroom as anyone else, and then saying, well, this has got to change. This just isn't right. And then it became, for me, Mike, all about the human part of it. You know, what's the humanity part of it? And then we took all of that to the next level with regards, well, we all have to make a stand. And this is when Martin Luther King came in the picture. We got to make a stand. We're not going to allow someone not to be able to sit anywhere they want to on a bus. And then that's what started the whole Montgomery bus boycott. We started the whole processes of demonstrations and protesting, which led to civil rights. From there, Mike, we went through the process of being able to vote in the mid-60s, and now we're up to another level where institutional racism took over, and now we're looking at criminal justice reform. So the whole thing has just been a whole long series of things that have led up to where we are today.
So you get the, but you did overcome. You know, you said we shall overcome. You overcame, Frank. George, you went to college, you got a degree, and you ended up evolving into an executive right here in Minneapolis. How did that happen? How did George Blackwell do that?
Well, you know, I kept my mind focused on really who I was and what I wanted to do, and I knew that if I worked hard, stayed focused, did what I felt was the right thing to do, respected people, took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to me, that I would be able to take it to the next level and be successful. So I was very fortunate that I was able to have people who believed in me, people who trusted me, people who gave me responsibility, people who were able to understand that this is what I'm capable of doing. And then I was able to take it and pass it on down the line as well, pay it forward, so to speak. So it wasn't easy, Mike. It wasn't easy. I mean, there were times when, you know, there's a lot of, during that period of time, subtle racism, a lot of systemic racism was taking place, a lot of patronizing. All I wanted was the opportunity to do the job and do it well. And so I was fortunate to do that, stay focused. I had parents who were really strong support networks for me, who believed that if you stay focused, keep a strong mind, that you can be successful. So, and I just kept moving in that direction, Mike. And I'm really, I'm really encouraged about what I'm seeing today.
Yeah, can you hold that thought, George? Can we take a break and come back? Because I want you to compare and contrast what you see today versus what you lived in, and give us your take on what we've seen here the last 9 days. Can you do that?
We can do that, Mike.
Let's take a break, come back with George Blackwell. He's seen it all in his life, and he'll give us some perspective as to what we're seeing right now when we come back on Sports to the Max. Welcome back. George Blackwell is with us in the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. George is an African-American who grew up the hard way and made a great life for himself, aspiring to a great executive position, referee in this town, baseball player for eternity, all kinds of great things I could say about George Blackwell. But tonight we talked specifically about race and what he saw and what he sees now in terms of the protests and maybe the intensity of it. George, obviously it's two different issues, police brutality, civil rights, and yet some of it you could say is a little bit the same because it's about suppression and profiling, to be sure. When you have look at what you've seen, the demonstrations that you've seen over the last 9 days, the people that you know that have been involved in them, and you're heavily involved in this community, so you know many, what have you seen? Is it completely different than when you protested for MLK? Does it feel at all the same? What does it feel like?
Well, you know, it's two different levels for me, Mike. First of all, what I'm looking at it just reminds me of the protesting and demonstrations that took place when I was going through the early 60s, and then all of a sudden I look at where we are in the last 9 or 10 days, and I keep thinking through, what has really changed. What has really changed, and it's really it reached the point for me where I got really weary, I got tired, I got frustrated, and then Mike, I got very energized.
Yeah.
I got very energized, and I got really enthusiastic about what I saw, and the of the young men and the young women and those that were protesting, that were demonstrating, and showing a very positive. And doing it in a very respectful and positive light. So I looked at that and I said, you know, this is where we need to be. Protesting is all about making your voice heard, and then doing it in a very respectful and doing it in a very proper way. So that was that to me, Mike, is where I see it, the change as opposed to what it was years ago to where it is today.
Well, isn't part of it demographics? So, I mean, I was just out at another march today, and the number of white people, Caucasians, young females that are marching side by side with, hasn't that changed quite a bit too?
Oh, Mike, there's no question about it. When I was going through that process, it was 100% black. And we had a few clergy people that supported us, that wanted to be a part of it. But you look at where we are today, not only in Minnesota, but you look across the country, and you're right. The dynamics and the participants is totally different, and that to me is very, very, very exciting. And I think that's a great thing that we're looking at today.
I want to tell you something else, George, and I don't know how much you've seen of what we reported on Channel 4 and on this program, but, you know, it's a job of a reporter to go out and just get both sides of it. And in so doing, what amazed me reporting on it, it didn't amaze me because I knew the participants. These are articulate, well-thought-out people that are demonstrating. Now the problem is we're going to see, you know, and we've seen video of looting and what they did to Target. I mean, a lot of disgusting stuff. But if we can get it back to the vast majority are articulate, thoughtful people that know what this is about and what they believe. And I believe this on law enforcement side, too. We got a few bad apples. That doesn't mean there's not a ton of really good ones. And I hope we can keep the ball in that court where we're not so quick to say, look at the looters or look at the bad police officers. But we can play a really strong game here in the middle somewhere, George, because most of the people are well-intended, articulate with families, and care a lot about this state.
And not only about the state, Mike, they do care about the state, but they also care about the future. They want to make sure that we're going to be living in an environment where everyone has an opportunity to be successful. Everyone's going to have an opportunity to achieve what they want to do and be able to have that in front of them. So I think that's a very important part. You know, when I think about a week or so ago, yeah, there was an element, and I'm of those that. But overall, I think this has been a really positive experience for us. You know, I've got a granddaughter that's been out there, just, as I mentioned to you today, virtually every day, making her voice known and making her voice heard. But I've encouraged her to continue to do that, and I've encouraged her to do it in a very respectful way. But that's how we're going to make change, Mike. We got to be able to do it because that's the future that we're going to have to deal with.
Well, and getting people to listen, it's pretty easy to listen when somebody's not yelling and shouting, but just saying, here's what I believe, here's what I feel, here's why I'm doing it, and they just articulate their views. That's really powerful, isn't it?
I've had people, Mike, over the years, and, you know, this is just another incident that we're dealing with, but during the course of, over the years, I've had many, many people come to me and just say, you know, I just want to hear from you. I want to listen. I want you to tell me about what you're feeling, what your thoughts are, because I want to understand. I don't understand right now, but I need you to talk to me and I need to listen. So that's another encouraging thing. And you're right. So I think that's where we need to go, because I think that's how we're going to have results.
If you were to go in and speak to a high school class right now, based on what you know and what you've seen over the last 10 days, and they looked at you and they said, what do you think we should do next? What would you tell them?
You know, I'd just say, look, here's where we are. You need to understand that we live in a country, we live in a society that wants to take us to the next level. You represent who we are. You need to understand that in order for us to have positive change, you're going to have to make the steps necessary to create those positive changes. It's not done through violence. It's not done through looting and robbery and those kinds of things. It's done through understanding that we need to be, in order to be successful, here are the things that we need to do. Here are the steps you need to take, and be very clear about what that is. But I think we're going to get there, Mike. I really do. I really think that this generation of young men and young women are going to get us there.
Well, if nothing else, they now understand what it is in the mission, don't they?
They sure do. And I think we have to, we as older adults have to continue to reinforce that. We have to continue to get them to understand what the mission is, what the objective is, and how you're going to get there. And then also understand that there are consequences to your actions. So you need to understand that if you're going to do something, understand what the consequences of that might be. So instead of doing that, think about what you can do that's in a positive way to get us to the next level.
George, it's all good stuff. You and I will be in touch. I'm proud to call you a friend, and it's just always fun to tap into you. And you know, most of our conversations aren't this deep. We're trying to figure out if the Twins can get the right pitching and if the Timberwolves are going to have a good draft, which I enjoy as well. But every once in a while, we need to tap it and go a little bit deeper.
Mike, you can feel free to call me anytime. I appreciate what you're doing in the community, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, George. We'll be in touch. George Blackwell. I don't even remember the first time I met him, but people in the sports world, they know George Blackwell. They just do, because he's either refereed one of their games, they've seen the Timberwolves games, or they played against him in the over 35 baseball league. There's a lot of guys like that out there, and George is one. And quite frankly, he stands out in amateur baseball over the years, over 35, because there's only a few African Americans that are playing in that league. And he played I bet he played baseball, I should have asked him, until he was late 60s, I'm going to say late 60s at least. He could still swing it. He could still bring the old club around. And all the guys out there that played in that league, they're listening right now, know who George is. But he's also had this interesting career. His daughter was a great player for the University of Minnesota, go for a basketball team. And now he's got grandchildren, and you know how it all cycles through. But he is just He's one of those guys. He's a positive guy. He coached at Blake High School baseball a couple years ago. Did a story with him. And he loves that stuff. He loves being a positive influence to kids. And now he's got grandkids, and he's counseling them. And, you know, you talk about leadership. That's the kind of leadership that we need. And he's got that. He's got that feel. He's got that, you know, that understanding of where we've been and where we need to go, and doing it with a sense of positivity.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.